Welcome to another episode of the Freethinkers Podcast, an Election Day special podcast. This is the day that Americans line up and we go to the polls and we choose who we want to represent us. We choose the stakes, we choose the issues, we choose what we want to, and we do that. Supposedly, that's supposedly what's supposed to happen. There's, it's about 3 o'clock in the afternoon. I've been watching some of the news come in. Maricopa County is having some voting machine issues. About 21% of the voting machines aren't working. In Pennsylvania and some heavily Republican counties, they ran out of paper ballots. In New Jersey, the voting machines aren't working. In Georgia, they're kicking poll watchers out in Fulton County up there. And so there's numerous events that are happening that we kind of thought would happen. What's interesting is Katie Hobbs, who's running for governor of Arizona against Carrie Lake, is the Secretary of State. She controls that election. And surprisingly, 21% of the voting machines are not working. So anyway, happy you're joining us, and it's going to be an interesting day. I tell you what, I've had so many people ask me what I thought about the election, how it was going to happen. And I said, man, if we legitimately had a free and fair election, an honest election, an election where every vote was counted, no matter what side of the aisle you're on, I truly believe the Republicans would absolutely not even clean house. It would be, as a lot of people are saying, a red tsunami. I think that there could have been at least 56 plus Senate seats. The House and governorships would just be overwhelming. But again, I do not have faith in the elections. 2020 was 100% stolen. If anybody on the mainstream wants to label me an election denier, I am 100% going to embrace that label, because I am 100% an election denier. There was rampant fraud in that. There were ballots and suitcases that were brought in. There were trucks with ballots brought in late in the night. They stopped counting. The votes went up. Just vote dumping in several states. You had Dominion voting machines that had complete rampant fraud. There's just so many discrepancies that happened that, yes, I am going to embrace, and I will 100% call myself a 2020 election denier. 100%. Absolutely. Go ahead. And that's one of the things I've always said on this podcast is embrace the labels. Embrace the labels they put on you. Because if it's honest and it's true of what you truly believe and what you've seen the evidence of, you see the ballot boxes and the stuffing, you've seen 2,000 mules, you've seen just overwhelming evidence time and time again that just proves what we said. Embrace it. Embrace those labels, because you have too many people on the Republican side that just run away from that. They run away from anybody wanting to paint them into a picture of what they don't think people are going to want them to say. My thing is to stand up for the truth. Stand up for the truth. If you've seen evidence and you believe that there were shenanigans, if you see there was fraud, if you think there was just widespread cheating, and you've seen the evidence and you know it, don't be afraid to stand up and say, this is what's going on. This is what's going on. So there needs to be some alpha males rise up in the Republican Party and the conservative movement and the party of freedom. Because quite frankly, I voted, if there was a Republican versus a Democrat, I voted Republican every single one of them. That doesn't mean that I have great expectations for a lot of them, except the Governor DeSantis. I have high expectations of him, and he's already exceeded a lot of the expectations I have. But some of these other senators, Senator Rubio, I voted for him, but I don't really have high expectations anymore of that. But it sure beats Val Demings, I can assure you that, because she's voted with evil and murder and just rampant pedophilia time and time and time again. So again, I hope everybody's had the chance to get out and vote. If you're in different locations and you've had voting irregularities, I hope you'll stay in line. These provisional ballots, I'm not sure. I've heard differing opinions on if they would be counted and they would not be counted. So if you can stand in line, I hope you do and get that vote counted. So the Democrats' closing argument was very interesting. Basically, it is pay about 500% more for the goods and services of your daily life and embrace child sacrifice and murder. That's honestly their closing argument. And they're saying the economy is what it is. It's going to be okay. And we want to legalize abortion, your choice to choose to have child sacrifice and murder. So that's not a very great ending argument, but it's just kind of interesting. You know, I was standing in line there at the voting place. And in Florida, when you vote, you hand them they need to see a picture ID, and which I'm fine with. I think every state should be like that. I saw a little clip from Dave Rubin today. He moved from California the first time ever. He's never had to show a photo ID because he came from California. So that just shows how there's a reason they don't want to do that. There's a reason they don't want you to do that. And I think it's showing up across the country. We're going to look at a few little stories that I've pulled up here. There's several tweets that come out. I mean, I support Gab, but there's not a lot of live news exactly that we can keep up right there on that. So anyway, we're gonna kind of go through some of that. But again, I want to say I'm confident today. I'm just not confident in the way that elections are run in a lot of these cities, a lot of these counties. And to be honest with you, until arrests are made, until there's consequences for the actions of fraud and what these people are doing, they're going to continue to do it again. No consequences came out of 2020. And I've told people time and time again, I don't see why they wouldn't try it again, because they didn't pay and suffer for anything they did in 2020. So they're going to continue to do it again. And they're pretty much doing it right before your eyes. And let's see what happens, because they've painted the picture. They've given the illusion that was staged. January 6th was staged by the FBI and the Capitol Police and all that to create this movement, to create people to want to distance themselves from the widespread rampant election fraud that happened. And they were going to challenge some of those electoral votes. And that was put in place to make that happen. And that was kind of how it went. So it's going to be an interesting day. I'm not sure that we're going to hit the mark where I thought we were going to hit. I'll show you kind of a map on a guy named Steve Dace, who I respect highly. He's very, very in touch with the polling and the poll, and he's been involved in that for years and years and years. And he's been pretty accurate as far as with voter sentiment. But as far as, what does Stalin say? It doesn't matter how you vote. It's who counts the votes that matter. That's what we're seeing right now. You have a person that's on the ballot as potential governor candidate in Arizona that's able to be in charge of counting the votes. And now we see over 20% of the machines aren't working, whether it's either the machines just aren't working, the tabulators aren't working. And then you see some of these papers that I'll show you earlier that the print job is so bad that it's not able to be read. So it's, to me, I hope we can get to a point where we can operate like Florida. You go in, you show your ID, you have to sign a signature. Actually, they made me sign my signature twice today because it's one of those deals where you sign it with your finger. And of course, I'm not very good at signing that. And it didn't really look like my driver's license. So they made me sign it again, which is great. I'm glad they did that. I kind of pointed that out and I said, thank you for making me do that, because I just kind of went off on the deal and I didn't make the K at the end very pronounced. But anyway, got that taken care of. So went in the voting booth, and you have a paper ballot, and then you run it through a counter, and you wait until it says it counted your vote, and then you get one of these great stickers right here to show that you were at least part of the process. Hopefully it works. But I think Florida has a really great system. It was seamless. I got there in time because the line kind of backed up pretty good behind me. So I kind of walked in and out, but there's a lot of people that are going to wait a good amount of time. So I just wanted to show you a couple things here while we have the window. There's a tweet right here. It talks about in Scottsdale, machines are down all over the place. Many couldn't even get their votes counted. This is happening all just Maricopa County, not just all of Maricopa County. But basically, Totters, and one of the guys who tweeted, says the woman responsible for this is the one Katie Hobbs, who stands to benefit the most. The villainy is so transparent. The only question is whether you would tolerate it and put her in jail as an orchestrator of fraud. And that's exactly what I mean. Until there's consequences, until there's arrests for this kind of stuff, you're going to see this happen over and over and over again. Now, why did they do that? Here's some numbers on the screen. As of 11 a.m. in Maricopa County, the in-person voting results, as far as the turnout, is 57.7% Republican, 14.1% Democrat, and 28% independent. So you can see ED only voters did not request an early ballot. So we have 30% that did not request an Republicans early day voters, not to, so 30% of that. So that's why you see, I think, the voting machine starting to do this, because when you have 58 roughly to 14% turnout, and the independents, I'm sure, going to swing hard to the right. That's why they want to suppress this vote, because it's a shellacking in the making if the votes are truly counted. Come back to here, and there's a message from the chairman of the elections department talking about how the votes are going to be counted if they go into box three, which means they're going to be driven to a centralized location. You're not going to know the results for a long, long, long time. I think that's kind of where they wanted to put it. And it's just, it's widespread, rampant fraud. Here, right here is a picture. And if you're listening and not able to see it, this is a ballot. And it looks like probably the worst, not inkjet, it looks like the worst laser printer where it, or they were printed and stacked on each other and just some of the ink just ripped off. But basically, this guy tweeted, "I voted in person in Mesa, and this is how it printed. The reader rejected it, and had we not inspected the ballot before voting, we likely would have been told to just leave the ballot behind. The poll chief reprinted a new ballot." She said, "This is an ongoing issue with printers." So now this is what we have here. And so basically when you run that through, there is a paper record, which is great, but I'm not sure how quickly a county like that would burn their records, because a lot of these places actually did burn their records after a certain amount of days to destroy the evidence from the 2020 widespread fraud. Moving to Florida, this was very interesting. The Department of Justice sent, what do they call, federal agents into polling places all over the country. Ron DeSantis, Governor DeSantis, basically told them to pound sand and not to do that. Basically, here's a letter that he wrote to the Department of Justice, basically saying that Department of Justice monitors are not permitted under Florida law. And the Florida statute lists the people who may enter any polling room or polling place. Department of Justice personnel are not included on that list, even if they could qualify as law enforcement under this section, absent some evidence concerning the need for federal intrusion or some federal statute that preempts Florida law. The presence of federal law enforcement inside polling places would be counterproductive. It could potentially undermine confidence in the election. Praise God for this man. He is just delivering on every front, every single front. And I'm very, very, very thankful for him on that. The Department of Justice has no business in this. There's only one reason they would be doing that. And it doesn't have, it's not on the up and up. It's not above board in that situation. When you look at some of these other stats, as of noon, which is just a few hours ago, out of 1.2 million votes counted in the first 5 hours in Florida, we have a 54% Republican turnout, Democrats 24%. So you're talking, and no party affiliation is at 21%. So you've actually got a significant, it's a current lead for Republicans in the state is 679,000 votes, which is interesting. Let me click on this and see if they have any update. They said it would be at 3 o'clock. I don't see that at this point. They've got some other areas that they have. So what was really interesting too, this is the map, like I said, Steve Dace, who I follow and respect a lot, this is his projection, his final projection, which was last Tuesday, and he predicts 56 Republican seats in the Senate, 44 to the Democrats, and he actually has, as far as the Senate, he has Pennsylvania, I guess, going to Oz over the Walking Verres report, which is Fetterman. He has Georgia going to Herschel Walker over the phony Reverend down there, and actually has Colorado going as far as swinging Republican, as well as the state of Washington. So the polls all support that. Not to mention New Hampshire, General Bullock in New Hampshire, that he was up by a point or two as of yesterday. So hopefully he finishes strong, and hopefully they count the votes correctly. This is his actual map for governorship, which to me, I think is one of the most important aspects there, because you've seen what Governor DeSantis has been able to do as far as just to tell the feds to pound sand. And that's kind of what, in my opinion, and based on the founding documents that the founding fathers had, is the United States. When you give the states power, you give the states and the governorships the ability to govern the way they see fit, and basically to pay the federal government like an association fee for the general defense, military, and things like that. As far as the schools, healthcare, that should not be a federal issue. That should be based on states. So what we see here is he thinks that there's only going to be 14 Democratic governors by the end of the day. And I guess end of the day is no longer a thing on voting day, because the United States and a lot of states are the most incompetent in the history of Earth to do that. You have Brazil that can let you know in about 2 hours. Florida will definitely know. A lot of other states, but then you have Pennsylvania, which they're now, a judge has allowed the votes to be counted if they're up until the 14th of November. I don't understand how that can happen, but evidently you have 6 more days to vote in Pennsylvania. When I say I don't know how that happened, I know why it happens, but I don't know how that happens, because that can't be constitutional. But anyway, he predicts that obviously Kemp will beat the election denier that she is there in Georgia, Stacey Abrams. He believes that Mastriano will beat, I don't even know what his name is in Pennsylvania. He's just a bad guy. But anyways, and he predicts Lee Zeldin in New York will beat Kathy Hochul. In Michigan, believes that Tudor Dixon will beat Gretchen Whitmer. And also in Oregon, he's predicting that the Republican out there will win that. I know Phil Knight, the CEO of Nike Shoes, actually put $1 million towards a Republican gubernatorial candidate in Oregon, which is pretty phenomenal as it goes. And you can see just how bad some of these policies are. And again, they're fighting for child sacrifice. They're fighting for higher prices across the board. They're fighting for more government control. They're fighting for just complete off-the-board perversion, child genital mutilation, transgenderism, and it's not right. It's just not right. And so we have a big time problem in a lot of areas with all this stuff. And so I really hope and pray that you guys have the ability to get out and vote. I'm going to try to make this a short podcast today, because I know that there's a lot of other people and pundits to see and to hear besides me, but I just wanted to come and just bring you a few little tidbits of information. I know a lot of people have asked kind of the opinions that I had on a lot of this, and man, we're witnessing what we're witnessing. But here's the deal, is if the turnout is what it is and the machines are down and all this other stuff happens, the margin of victory is going to be bigger than the ability that they can fraudulently try to overthrow elections. And so I'm just hoping, and I'm thoroughly praying that we do have not just the red wave, but the red tsunami that we're talking about. But if that does happen, the most important part is going to be what happens tomorrow, because there's a lot of people that I know. I talked to a buddy last night that he said he knew several people that were lifelong Democrats that said they're voting Republican today. And so the effort that it's going to take and the convincing it's going to take them to go across that aisle and vote Republican, if the Republicans don't deliver, it's going to be worse than if they just lost this election outright, because those people will never, ever give them a chance again. And so it's time for Republicans to stand up. It's time for them to be conservatives. It's time to get Mitch McConnell out as minority speaker, and not to make him majority speaker. I think there's some pushback already in that, because I guarantee if you actually poll the constituents, the voters, they would not want Mitch McConnell as the Senate majority leader. Absolutely not. And I would not want Kevin McCarthy as the House majority leader either, if Republicans win, they are expected to win the House. So there has to be this coming together of true principles. There has to be this eliminating the fear of what mainstream media and complete liberal off the chart wackos label you as, like I've always said, embrace the labels. Whatever they call you, that's great. Water off a duck's back. Move forward in truth. Move forward doing what you know is right to do. And we just, and again, I would say at this point, don't sit back and expect the elected people, the elected men and women to do anything on your behalf, because you're going to have to push them. You've seen this time and time and time again. The special interests are there, and the temptation to just play it easy and to get what you have or what's offered to you is probably through the roof to these people. And obviously we can sit back and say, oh, we do this, that, and the other until we're in that situation. Hopefully we'd be principled enough to do the right thing and to serve the people, but a lot of people aren't that way. Even people in red coats. So I would say you're going to have to talk to your elected representatives more than ever. Get involved, go to meetings, go to gatherings, whatever you need to do more than ever. And as far as like even with school boards, get involved on that level, get involved in your local city level, in your county level, in your state level. That's the most important thing. And that, to me, that's why I'm really watching the gubernatorial races, because I want states like New York and Michigan and Oregon to experience what it is and to have people in there that fight for them and their freedom, like Governor DeSantis did for us. And quite frankly, I'm tired of people moving into this state because traffic's getting really, really bad. So hopefully New York can turn red and a couple of people can go back up there. And that kind of thing. So we've got a lot of work to do. And like I said, I think you can, if it goes that way, there's time to celebrate. There's time to, it's kind of like a football game. If you win, celebrate that night and get back to work the next day. And I think that's what we have to do. Not think, I know that's what we have to do. And really push them, hold their feet to the fire, because there's a massive opportunity to take a gigantic lead. And in 2024, there's even more Senate seats that are in play that could turn red. But the fact is if the people that are elected today operate in the faith and the freedom like Governor DeSantis did, as far as just going after and doing what's right, basically saying that woke stops in Florida. I mean, just attacking them, going head on. And I think he learned from Donald Trump, you can be a fighter, but you don't have to take the bait. I think he learned from Trump as far as how to handle these people, but he did it in a way that's like political mastermind level of what he's doing, because he doesn't take the bait. He fights people back with facts. It's not a personal issue, and it's based upon, he's the fighter for us. I mean, he basically is on our behalf. You can't tell me at this point if Governor DeSantis is pro or anti-vax. You can't, because he's only fought for freedom on that level. You can basically say he's anti-lockdown because he's fought against that. He believes in that. You can say he's anti-mask because he doesn't believe in that, but he believes in the freedom, if you still want to wear one, to go for it and do that kind of thing. So I just hope and pray that some of these other states that are gorgeous states. I mean, Oregon, I was there just a couple of months ago. New York, I've been to upstate New York, absolutely gorgeous. Pennsylvania, the same. I mean, just never been to Michigan, don't really care to, but I'm sure it's gorgeous areas. But man, I'm telling you, I mean, looking at this map, I just hope that it doesn't just turn red and conformity sets in or complacency sets in. I just hope it turns red and you just really push the pedal to the metal on freedom, on liberty, and you start holding these people accountable. Hold people accountable for what they did. I'm not going to get into this whole thing at this point about them wanting forgiveness for what they did as far as the lockdowns and the mandates and the mandatory vaccinations. We'll get in that at another one, because this is mainly about elections. But I'm telling you, these people need to hold those people accountable, because we're seeing right now what happens when there's no accountability and there's no consequences for what's going on with this election fraud. And again, embrace the labels. I'm an election denier. I know it was fraudulent in 2020, 100%. I know it was. And so, I mean, when you have these states that are winning by a certain amount of votes, and that it was really, really rigged. But anyway, we're going to leave you here with that. And I will be back, and I hope I'm wrong. I hope I come back and say there was just a shellacking of biblical proportions. I hope those voter turnout numbers are like that across the country. I kind of have a feeling they will be, and I just hope that they get these machines fixed, and I hope the elections are above board. And I really hope, I'm telling you, I hope every single vote counts. If you made the effort to vote, I hope it counts. And that's really what the whole foundation of a representative republic that we live in is. People say they want to save a democracy. I have news for you. This is not a democracy. It's a representative republic. That's how the United States was founded. So the people that say they want to save democracy, hopefully they're talking about a different country that they're going to move to once the Republicans take over. So anyway, until then, I certainly hope you guys have a wonderful election day, election eve. And I can't wait to come back and say that I was too pessimistic, although I try to be a little bit of a realist, but optimism I don't have based on how the election is and how the election's been. So anyway, have a wonderful evening, and I will talk to you soon.